its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please, please, please be seated. To our kitchen here to see if we had any salt. These are just the big ones. I figured we can see these. I loved celebrating Candlemas last Sunday. It seemed to encompass all the themes of Epiphany, conveniently packaged into a single feast day. As we celebrated the light of Christ coming into the world, embodied in the joy and promise of our baby. At 10 a.m., our own little one, Louis, who was about the same age as the baby in the story, as Jesus was in the story, he was back there making himself heard, making sure we understand this is about a real baby and not the idea of one. And with the sanctuary wrapped in white Christmas lights, the children brought their candles up to be blessed. They commented when they were up here about the star candles we lit when they came up for the blessing. They got the connection. Epiphany equals star, lights, blessings, carrying your own light out into the world. On Sunday evening, we had the most amazing wedding celebration for Mayor and Kylie Lindsay. As someone mentioned to me later, it felt like the kind of event that the founding members envisioned when they built this sanctuary and parish hall all in one. A wedding celebration in the sanctuary with people sitting at tables, ready to share a meal together, a potluck meal no less, as the space fulfilled its dual roles beautifully. It took some creativity and vision and a lot of hard work, but it was astounding when it all came together. And as God would have it, the lessons Mary and Kylie chose for their gospel text was the first portion of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, which happens to be the assigned lesson for the fourth Sunday after the Epiphany. Last Sunday's lesson, had Candlemas not fallen on a Sunday. That text from Matthew chapter 5, 1 through 12. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain. And after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. This is where we pick up our gospel text today. It's the next portion of this sermon. Jesus is preaching and teaching to all those who were gathered, an audience largely made up of people who were sick or somehow afflicted, and those who care for them. When Jesus proclaims God's expansive blessings in what we call the Beatitudes, his listeners are included among those graciously blessed by God, the meek, the merciful, those who mourn, those who thirst for righteousness. This is astonishing news for them to hear. They're used to being on the outside, blamed for whatever sin must have caused their disease or disability. Yet Jesus counters all of that, pronouncing God's blessings on them. And in today's portion of the sermon, he is even more direct, lest they think he might not be talking about them. He addresses his listeners directly. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Yes, you. Of course, you are the light of the world. Much to us in our world of automatic light on demand, unless, of course, the power goes out like it did on Friday for much of Yarmouth. And you are the salt of the earth certainly had more meaning for those who had to salt food to preserve it, and who didn't have this vast variety of fruity choices that we do. But think about it. It doesn't take much salt or light to make a difference to a greater whole. A pinch of salt can make all the difference. I think our kids in Sunday school are figuring that out this morning by making soup. And a single candle sheds a lot of light. Did you know that, take away the light pollution, a candle is visible from as much as 1.6 miles away? One light. And both salt and light have elemental purposes. Salt is for saltiness. Its identity and purpose are one and the same. It does what it is. It fulfills the properties of salt. Enhances flavor, preserves, and important for us, lowers the freezing point of water, making our roads less icy. In a similar way, light does what it is. It lights, right? It lights the way, enlightens the darkness. Light illuminates. No one would light a lamp and then hide it. People sitting on the hillside would have understood that Jesus is making a connection between identity and purpose. Who we are and what we're meant to do are virtually one and the same. God created us and blessed us for a particular role in the redemption of all of creation. You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. And Jesus says this. He isn't giving us a new role to play or something to strive for. Go become salt or light. Instead, he's naming who we already are. God has made us, blessing us with gifts that can bless the world. We already have enough to make a difference in significant ways. We don't need to become something more or something else. We do have to live into who we are. Claim and embrace the gifts we have been given. We have to be salty, be luminous. We have to embody who we are created to be. Live fully into the gifts we've been given. We have to be who we are. Being who we are authentically and living into our blessedness is the foundation for the rest of Jesus' sermon. He will turn to specific instructions, but he's not saying, if you follow these instructions, you'll be blessed. He's saying, you're already blessed, and you have gifts for blessing. are some instructions on how you might do that. We won't get to hear all of this text of the sermon before our season of Epiphany ends and we begin Lent. But the rest of this sermon is built on that foundation of already being blessed. You are a blessing and made to be a blessing to the world. So go out and live your destiny, fulfill your true being by doing these good works that he will talk about. We don't have to become salt and light. We already are salt and light. We have to claim, embrace, and embody our saltiness and luminosity. Which brings us back to the wedding last Sunday evening. When we were planning the marriage ceremony, it was important to Mary and Kylie to receive communion at their wedding. When you think about where that falls in the wedding service, it's the very first act after you get married. But we wondered if anyone else would receive, given the group that we knew would be gathering. Maybe Liza and Peter, who would be there, and Carol Foster Sweet. But would that be it? Because many of the people coming to celebrate with Mary and Kylie were people who've been made to feel like outsiders. Similar to those gathered on the hillside to listen to Jesus, these young adults have been told they don't count. Their identity has been questioned, negated, even threatened. Some by churches in the name of Christianity. God have mercy. For everything from their sexual orientation and gender identity to their hair and clothing choices, they have been told they don't belong. The evening of the wedding, the whole building glowed with light and with welcome. At the door, people walked in. They could write out these little cards with wishes for the couple instead of signing a guest book. They could find their own names on the seating chart so they could see which of the tables gathered they would sit at. And they could pick out the appropriate button, letting people know which pronouns they prefer. I wore my she, her, hers button on my alb during the ceremony. It looks pretty good. It's green, like the season, right? But there are other choices. My favorite is the blank one. My pronouns are. I just didn't come up with anything clever. I can't explain to you what it meant to be able to welcome everyone to God's table when we celebrated the Eucharist that night. To tell people through our actions that they are beloved of God and welcome always. When St. Bart's welcomes everyone to the table, we are embodying the love of God for all of God's children. We are living fully, authentically into who we are at our core. Admittedly, only a fraction of the wedding guests came forward for communion, but the entire wedding party received. Even some who had told me the night